speak about it a lot because energy is the key to prosperity, not just individually here in this country, but around the world, too. And our electric co-ops know that. And they've gotten together, along with the national organization. You remember when they went to Bolivia in 2020 and put up a whole bunch of electrical poles and got electricity to a village that previously had to share its, like, one schoolroom light bulb? Remember that? Well, they're doing that again. And right now, they're in Guatemala. We'll talk with that team. There's a few things, though, on the plate ahead of that in, when it comes to wildfire liability for our electric co-ops. We get into that today first here on Voices of Montana. Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Going to go to Guatemala a bit later. A lot of your friends and neighbors are down there. Well, a lot. I mean, 14 of them. They got a mission that is going to make a huge improvement for a little village there. We'll talk about that a bit later on. There are some improvements that electric co-ops are trying to make on the ground at the legislative level here. We'll hit that early on and talk about wildfire liability. I mean, and that's a big one, too. When we look at some of these catastrophic fires that are caused by large winds, the liability out there over the years, and we'll have Mark Lambrick talk about that as well. The liability, I think, has not always been certain regarding that. And that's something that needs to be shored up for electric cooperatives, too. So Gary Weens is joining us here, executive director of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. We also have Mark Lambrick, as I talked about, who's director of the government relations group there. And then Ron Catlett is with us from Flathead Electric, one of the biggest co-ops, I think it is, by membership there. A lot of growth. And, of course, they're in that area, the wooded areas as well, where this wildfire liability will make a big difference. So first we'll say hello to, let's say hello to Gary Weens. He's the executive director, and I think everybody knows he's on his way out already. Hey, Gary, just kidding. Thank you for being here. I know you're retiring. We talked about that. We're very happy for your service, and thanks for being here. Are you well?
Yes, Tom, thanks. It's finally getting warmer, right? So, things are looking good.
Are you guys in Great Falls right now?
No, we're in Helena at the state capitol.
Okay, right. Yeah, because there was this hearing yesterday. Yeah, good. We'll get into that. We're going to talk with Mark here in a bit. Let's say hello to Ron Catlett first from Flathead Electric. Ron, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Tom. It's great to be on this morning with you.
Thank you for being here and for being a part of this cooperative up there. You guys have been, you kind of got a legacy going on. We keep, we get all your releases as well because you're moving the needle on a lot of things here. Why don't you give us a hint of the massive growth that you guys have been dealing with over the past couple of years?
Yeah, it's real. We're up to about 74,000 meters. And 58,000 members.
Wow.
We've seen just the growth in our transmission needs. Our load growth has increased more than 20% in the last couple of years. Last year we hit an all-time high, about 442 megawatts of electricity that we've got to provide to our members. Mm-hmm. And so, it's a challenge. We work very hard on it. We have a great team at Flathead Electric. We want to be able to serve our members with affordable, reliable power. That's what it's all about. And, we want to be a part of the growth. But it's definitely a challenge. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Especially, when you look at supply chains as well and how that's been affected over the years. So when you talk about adding those new meters and all those members, faced with a lot of challenges. One of those challenges we talk about right now with Mark Lambrick to kick it off here, Director of Government Relations. Mark, good morning. I thank you for being here as well. You doing good?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing fine. I had a cold last week. Fortunately, it wasn't this week with our big hearing, but I'm feeling much better now, and I'm excited for it to finally warm up. It's been below zero for too long.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, we could go on about that, couldn't we? But it is getting warmer, and I appreciate that. So good timing, as a matter of fact, because you did have this hearing on wildfire liability. you know, why don't you go ahead and take some time, and then we'll get Ron and Gary's comments about it, but take some time and unpack this for us. What are the challenges when it comes to wildfire liability? What are your guys' responsibilities? What are those things that are out of your control that you'd like to get some kind of legislative handle on?
Ready to go, Tom. Hey, first of all, though, you brought up the Guatemala trip.
Yeah.
When you have Ryan on later, I want to make sure you ask him about the photos that he sent us. They've been encountering scorpions, huge spiders, and even a 5-foot timber rattlesnake. So kind of hazardous duty there. But I wanted to talk about wildfire liability. So, you know, I just wanted to mention, you know, wildfire is becoming a more common problem in Montana, as everybody knows. You know, despite the best efforts of all of our citizens, landowners, utilities, and even government agencies, we will continue to have wildfires in Montana. It's a particular problem for utilities such as the electric cooperatives and even the investor-owned utilities. And so I'm sure a lot of your listeners have read about the recent fires in California, Hawaii, Colorado, and Oregon, where the utilities there have faced a barrage of civil and criminal lawsuits from plaintiffs and insurance companies seeking billions of dollars in damages, including massive punitive awards.
Yeah.
In fact, one California utility had to declare bankruptcy and lay off thousands of employees. And the reason for that is California has a standard called inverse condemnation with strict liability. That means simply that if there is a fire, there's no investigation of the cause, no determination of facts. We go from the fire automatically to how much does the utility pay?
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course, with electric cooperatives and investor-owned utilities, any increases or payment of those awards is handed on to the ratepayers. So it has a very significant impact on ratepayers. So what we're trying to do here in Montana is make sure that that standard doesn't come here. It could easily come here just by action of a court, but we're trying to take action here to have a statutory declaration in Montana that strict liability does not apply for wildfires involving utilities. So, of course, electric cooperatives and utilities understand we have a role, we have a responsibility in mitigating the risk of wildfire, which is why in the bill we're mandating that every utility, every electric cooperative have a wildfire mitigation plan in place and comply with that. What that means is we're committing to inspection and maintenance of our poles, wires, substations, and other facilities. We will take care of hazard vegetation management, making sure the lines are clear of trees, overhanging branches, anything else that might contribute to a wildfire, communication with the public, with our members, with emergency service responders, coordination with governmental entities from the federal, state, local, and tribal levels, all to make sure that we are doing everything we can to prevent wildfires from happening in the first place or mitigating the damage if we do have wildfires. We're not seeking to absolve ourselves of any liability. We're just stating that we're not automatically liable. But if we are found to have been negligent in our actions and contributed to a wildfire, we fully expect to be held responsible and pay the damages to property owners that they're due. So we had a hearing on the bill yesterday in the House Judiciary Committee. Our sponsor is Representative Amy Regeer from Kalispell, who chairs that committee. We had a 2.5-hour hearing. It was a robust discussion. Unfortunately, I felt there was a lot of misinterpretation of what the bill is about, misinterpretation of what strict liability is about. So I think we did our best to try to address those. We continue to address those concerns through some clarifying amendments that we'll be presenting to the committee probably later today, certainly by Monday. But we're doing a lot of hard work on that. And then we're also presenting a memo to the committee that rebuts a lot of what we believe were erroneous statements made by some of the opponents to the bill yesterday. We did have strong proponents. We had, of course, electric cooperatives, Northwestern Energy, MDU, the three entities that came together to draft this bill. We did have strong support from the large industrial customer group, a lot of the larger industrial employers in the state of Montana that recognize the value of mitigating the risk of wildfire, making sure that we can continue to do what we do and they can continue to employ Montanans. But we also had the Montana American Indian Caucus express strong support for the bill. That was important. But certainly we did have some concerns raised from the insurance industry and some other entities that were concerned about, you know, what does this bill mean for property owners out there in Montana? And so we certainly, you know, that's a very important factor from our perspective. You know, we're partners with our landowners. You know, our members of our electric cooperatives are property owners, whether they're farmers and ranchers, business owners, homeowners. You know, they're in partnership with our interests in providing safe, reliable, and affordable electricity to Montanans. And so, you know, we're not going to do anything that's going to negatively impact their interests in Montana.
There's a lot in there that we'll circle back on, too. A mitigation plan and the maintenance. I think you guys are doing a lot of that already. Not to absolve yourselves. I appreciate that. I think there's a lot of people that can agree in concept, so I'm curious as to where this misrepresentation is coming from, whether it's purposeful or not, to try and derail this. And that's, I know, subjective as well. I want to ask Gary a bit later on. I'll go to Ron first, Ron Catlett from Flathead Electric. You know, that micro level, how it affects you guys. And then Gary Weens is executive director. We'll talk about the overall, you know, co-ops across Montana. But Ron, talk about how important this is to you guys in terms of this wildfire liability. Have you seen anything already that's troublesome or has perhaps been adjudicated wrongly that you need to correct?
So I'll start off by saying, you know, at Flathead, I would say wildfire is probably on an operational side our biggest concern, other than just, you know, a normal power outage. Our integrated services manager who testified on our behalf yesterday talks about how it's what keeps her up at night. You know, we've seen a large amount of growth. We have a lot of timbered land in Northwest Montana. We're on Forest Service land, DNRC land, the Park Service. We have seen a lot of growth in that wildland urban interface. And, you know, we have to provide electricity to those members. And we also are very proud of the fact that we provide some of the cheapest, most reliable power, of anybody in the region. And so, you know, as we expand out into the WUI, as these wildfires get more intense, you know, we're at real risk. If there is this strict liability that is imposed on us, we're at real risk to be able to continue to serve our members with affordable power. And again, we don't have a choice. We have to, you know, we have to serve our members as we expand out into these places, and we want to do that. And so, you know, it has a real impact. And we do have a very robust wildfire mitigation plan that we have in place already. We think it's a good model. We work with our landowners, we work with our land agency managers very closely to come up with a system that works. And we have had some fires in our area, of course, but, you know, we've been able to, again, working with our stakeholder groups, and working with the land agencies, have those not become, you know, huge conflagrations. And so, again, you know, so we're working very hard on this. Like I said, you know, it really keeps our folks up at night worrying about this wildfire issue. But at the end of the day, you know, we need this protection from strict liability to be able to continue to serve our members.
Gary, I'm going to throw a little bit of a caveat in there, too, when you talk about liability. Insurance is operating costs. Now, I can imagine that if this bill does pass, that insurance companies are going to have a little more confidence, I suppose, in their insurance rates. It should reflect in their rates for the cooperative. So I suppose that's a factor here, because I know insurance is a big part of operating costs. But I also want to ask, if this doesn't pass, or if there is a circumstance where some of these co-ops do get caught in liability, Is it lights out for them? Could it be lights out for them like that one case in California?
Here's the situation, Tom, is that I've talked to the CEO of the insurance company, Federated Rural Electric Insurance Exchange, which insures our co-ops for wildfire liability and all their insurance, frankly. And he's telling us that it's getting really, really hard to find reinsurers willing to step up and, you know, serve as a backstop if Federated can't pay the insurance claims. And so what he's saying that if there's even one major or two major wildfires, the co-ops could lose their ability to even get wildfire insurance. So now, and of course, premiums have increased for all the electric co-ops in Montana for wildfire insurance. They continue to increase. And then they're also having to reduce the amount of coverage that they can get under wildfire liability insurance. So any one co-op is vulnerable. I mean, you look at Flathead Electric. They've got, you know, some pretty high-priced subdivisions there. I mean, they just burn just a few, two or three of those homes. And the co-op, despite being financially healthy, if they had those homes burned and they didn't have wildfire liability insurance that was adequate, they could easily go upside down financially and be bankrupted. I mean, it could happen, and we don't know who could come in and replace Flathead Electric. Could be a regulated utility owned by investors that isn't owned by the consumers. That's a risk, huge risk for the people. They're going to lose the great service that co-ops like Flathead Electric provide. And then you look at the small co-ops. If they went bankrupted, which, you know, could easily happen too, they've got, who wants to serve in those rural areas? I mean, some of them have less than a member per mile line. There's hardly any revenues coming in per mile of line.
Right.
Co-ops are able to do it. But it's a huge worry, and it's a real worry. It's not something we're just making up.
You know, I'm going to come back after a break, and then we'll kind of get into it a little more with Mark Lambrecht. Again, that was Gary Weens, Executive Director of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, MECA. Ron Catlett also on board, Flathead Electric Cooperative. And then Mark Lambrecht, we're going to go to Guatemala here in just a little while. It's kind of cool that they can do that. They're spreading the cooperative model there, too, and it's a lot of benefit to that. But we've got more to peel into this wildfire liability issue when we come on back here on Voices. Is tomorrow Friday already? Okay, I'm feeling that. Our Republican leadership on. We're back to our Capitol recaps. It's the More Power Hour with the Republican leadership this Friday. I don't know exactly who will be on here, but it'll be good to catch up with them as we do this on a weekly basis every other Friday. Of course, I missed last week, but we're alternating Republican and Democratic leadership. So it's Friday for Republican leadership. Maybe we'll hear from Matt Regeer, the Senate president as well. He's been on for the past couple of weeks. All right, and back here, too, to what's kind of going on in the Capitol when it comes to wildfire liability with the Montana Electric Cooperative Executive Director Gary Weens alongside. From Flathead Electric, Ron Catlett is also on board. And then Mark Lambrecht, Director of Government Relations, testifying yesterday regarding a bill, as we kind of noted, this wildfire liability. Mark, I want to get right back into some of the opposition to it, or as you noticed, maybe there's some misinterpretation needed clarifying. I would think there's a lot of people who agree in concept in terms of limiting the liability here. What is your responsibility and really what isn't? But what did you take from some of the opposition to this? And it was a long hearing, as you know, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was a long hearing, but we made it through. So I just wanted to go through some of the claims and our responses to that. So I talked earlier about the California standard of strict liability, how a utility is considered automatically liable no matter what the facts are of the fire. There was a claim made that there's no need for legislation to prevent strict liability from coming to Montana because it's not the standard currently in Montana. But the answer to that is in the absence of a statute declaring that it doesn't apply in Montana, it's very easy for a judge to apply that standard. So that's why we have to have this in Montana law right now to prevent courts from doing that. Some of the claims from the insurance companies, they referred to a term called subrogation. So if anybody's familiar with insurance, so say you have a policy on your home. and you have a fire that has damage. And so you make a claim with your insurance company. They pay that claim as part of their contract with you, but then they subrogate against whomever may have caused that fire. So that's one of the things they believe, is that this would allow, this would prevent them from subrogating against utilities should we be responsible for a fire. So we have a fundamental disagreement over that. It's very clear in the bill that it doesn't impact the rights of an insurance company to subrogate against a utility should the utility be found to be negligent and responsible for the fire. The thing that we're trying to make clear is they could not subrogate for us automatically, you know, such as what they would be able to do if they had strict liability in Montana. So another claim was that this bill would lead to increased insurance policy premiums. We disagree with that. With our commitment to having every utility in the state of Montana have a wildfire mitigation plan that is aimed at reducing the risk of wildfire, there should be an appropriate response from insurance companies to actually lower premiums because the risk of wildfire is reduced.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I agree with that. I mean, that just makes common sense, actually. So, yeah.
Yeah, it seems logical. Another claim was this bill gives utilities a liability shield or completely absolves them from liability. It's very clear in the bill, we are not fundamentally changing negligence law in Montana. As I said a couple of times now, the only change we're making here is that we're not automatically liable after a fire. If it is proven that the utility was negligent, perhaps, you know, didn't fully comply with its wildfire mitigation plan, didn't go out and clear vegetation, you know, didn't maintain its lines, and they were proven to have been negligent in the operation of their facilities, certainly they're liable and will pay damages. Another claim was that utilities won't be required to spend money on their wildfire mitigation plan. This was an interesting point that was brought up. So, yeah, we don't have a specific dollar amount that a wildfire mitigation plan has to reach because each utility and each electric cooperative is so different. You can't fundamentally compare Flathead Electric Cooperative and their service area and the fact that they serve so many homes in the wildland-urban interface. Compare that to, say, an Eastern Montana Electric Cooperative that's much smaller in terms of the number of meters that it serves or, frankly, the number of trees in its service area, you know, the complexity of the plan that's required. You have to be able to allow for different types of plans to meet different situations.
Hey, thanks for that. I'm going to save a minute here, and that's all I have. I'm going to throw it to you, Gary Weens, to talk about the proactive approach that you guys have taken regarding this, the co-ops, that is.
Thanks, Tom. Yes, so wildfire mitigation plans, 17 of the co-ops, of our 25 co-ops, have developed and implemented wildfire mitigation plans. And basically, it's a prevention plan. And we think that the cheapest way, you know, there's been millions and millions of dollars of losses in other states, but we think that the cheapest way to deal with this is to prevent the fires, or even prevent any losses from occurring. So that's why these wildfire mitigation plans are so important. And just a few things about what they include.
We won't have time for it, Gary. I apologize for that. I got a hard breakup coming, but you guys can stand by. We're going to go to Ryan Hall next, going to call in from Guatemala. It's your cruiser there, so we're going to have you guys stand by and back with more from Montana for Montana. It's
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Hey, welcome back. I hope you're doing good. We get to throw out some names here of folks who are heroes in my book are our linemen. And this goes to the story. Well, it was in April 2020. They were in Bolivia, members of the Montana Electric Cooperative Association, different various co-op members across the state of Montana. Now they're in Guatemala. Ryan Hall, communications director for MECA, is going to join us here in just a little bit. Tyler Jost, a Flathead Electric Cooperative. Justin Bear, Vigilante Electric Cooperative. Nathan Tuttle, McCone Electric. Also have Cody Tartar, Vigilante Electric Cooperative. Those guys are out there representing Montana in a way. It's so fresh and so needed in that area. So big shout out to that. Let's finish up, though, as we've got a few more things to kind of go through. Gary Weens is with us, executive director of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Also, Ron Catlett, who heads up the Flathead Electric Cooperative Association. And then Mark Lambrick, director of government relations. And this regards to, and Mark, what is the number of that bill that carries that wildfire liability?
It's House Bill 490, and it's okay. Sponsored by Representative Amy Regeer of Kalispell.
Okay, HB 490. Gary, you wanted to, and I think we needed to get into it a little bit more, because as Mark had talked about what the co-ops are agreeing to here, and that is getting a good mitigation plan together that includes inspections and maintenance and hazard removal for vegetation and coordination of efforts. Talk about how a proactive approach here is what you guys actually are looking forward to throughout this whole process.
Thanks. Yeah, so 17 of the 25 co-ops have wildfire mitigation plans, and the remainder are expected to soon follow suit with having them. So just a flavor of some examples of what's in one of those plans. So, they have to identify the high-risk areas, the areas that are vulnerable, most vulnerable in their service areas to fires. So they use satellite imagery. They use other technology to make sure that that's scientific as far as what areas are vulnerable. And I'll let Ron jump in, too. He wants to talk a little about what they do. But before I do, just a couple more things. So another part of the plan is that, how are you going to go about inspecting your facilities every year? How many poles, for example, are you going to test in a year? Are you going to have adequate money? So there has to be money in the budget for that every year to conduct it. And what equipment needs to be replaced to hold down the fire risk? And then upgrades. What kind of upgrades are you going to do to your facility to help prevent fires in the high-risk areas? So, for example, one of the co-ops in Montana, and there's probably more, they have this technology that can ratchet down the stream of electricity that's flowing through an area, and we're talking about very small, localized areas that are very vulnerable to fires. And they can, during those vulnerability times, they can ratchet down that stream so that the power line, if it goes down, it's much less likely to cause a fire. Mm. So those are things are all in a plan. And then, what are you going to do? How are you going to communicate with the public, with emergency personnel, both before and after a fire risk time occurs? So, Ron, do you want to jump in there with some things that Flathead Electric is doing?
Yeah. So one of the things you mentioned, the satellite technology, it's really, really interesting, what we can do nowadays. We have a program where we can look at our entire service territory, which is about the size of the state of Connecticut, interestingly enough. We can look at the overstory of the trees over our lines, and we can really, line by line, look at, okay, this area needs trimmed, this area is okay, this area is higher risk. And then that allows us to go and work with those landowners, be they private landowners or public agencies, land agencies, and say, hey, you're at risk. We need to do some trimming out here and, get some trees back, get our lines clear. It's just pretty cool what technology is allowing us to do and just across our entire service territory. And before we had this technology, it used to just be, an actual person had to go out and just inspect the lines, and that would take a long time because we have a couple thousand miles of lines. But with this new technology, it's pretty neat what we're able to do and really localize the work that we do when it comes to vegetation management and mitigating fire risk.
Yeah, and I think all that stuff is, we got to do everything we can. And those are the things that we can do. So I very much appreciate that. Ron Catlett, again, from Flathead Electric Cooperative. You've got a couple of your members in Guatemala right now, Ron. You know, talk about what – and Ryan Hall is standing by, too. Let's say hello to Ryan Hall first. Ryan Hall, Communications Director in Guatemala. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing great. Hope you guys can hear me well. I'm at the top of a mountain in the village of Cocalitos.
Cocalitos. And you've been doing great stuff there. I mean, people are following along on Facebook. They're in all kinds of good photos about the work that you guys are doing. I'm going to go to Ron here in just a little bit. But tell us, Ryan, what is the work that you guys are doing? Go ahead and take some time and explain. You know, this is the NRECA International Project, or part of that project, where they do these in various places across the world, and Montana has pitched in a big way.
Yeah, we have 14 amazing linemen here from across the state who are away from their families for 16 days to be out here. It's 10 working days that it takes some travel, and we try to give them a couple breaks in between. And we're here on the side of a mountain. We took a line from the closest area up to the village. It was about 7 kilometers. 25 poles. We have 2 or 3 stands of over 1,000 feet, which is pushing the limits. You know, you will see that in Montana, but not very often. We're doing it up a mountainside. So it's been really interesting. These guys have done some amazing work. Been very, they came up with some very creative solutions to do this. and it's been amazing to watch. We probably ended today, which is day 6 of 10 working days, about 65% done with the project. We should have been about 50%. So we're well ahead of schedule. Things are going well. Today was supposed to be a rest day, and they were so close to getting the wire hung, they said, no, let's finish that, then take our rest day, and we'll come back and work on doing the interior wiring in the village. So these guys have just been super dedicated and bringing power to a village of, for all the houses, about 100 people, give or take, 150 people that have never had electricity before.
Yeah. Tell us about what this will do to the village of Cocalitos and then also the surrounding area, too, because this is a seed that tends to grow if you water it.
Yeah. So this is a really cool project in that way. It's very different than our Bolivia project. So the village we're staying in, or the town we're staying in, I should say, it's about the size of Helena, is Gulan. And they're only a 30-minute drive, but it's straight up a mountain two-track road that reminds me of going elk hunting back home. So it's a... Crick crossings the whole bit, so it's very difficult for them to get to town. So this allows them to be able to talk to them refrigeration. Up here they raise cattle and chicken, and if they slaughter something, they have to eat it among all the families because there's no way to store the meat. So they're looking for refrigeration and clothes washing is something somebody mentioned as well. And this is a project that's been seeded by others. So Ohio and Oklahoma just left, and we're doing the next leg. And then when this is done, they'll go to the next village up the mountain. There's several more up here. They said that some of the school kids walked 2 hours to get to the schoolhouse where I'm standing outside right now.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to go to Ron Catlett again from Flathead Electric Cooperative. You have a couple of workers there. I want to get some of these names out, too. Nolan Drury from Sheridan Electric Co-op is there. Vigilante Electric Co-op's Joe Kidd is there. Also, Josh Wood from Park Electric. There's, I'm not saying this right, I don't suppose, Dalen Dakin from Flathead Electric Co-op. Also mentioned another one there, Cody Tartar from Vigilante. Ron, what does you supporting and Flathead Electric supporting a project like this do for Flathead Electric?
You know, we're very proud of Delane and Tyler who are out there right now, on our behalf, doing good work down there. I just think it's such a cool way of showing how the cooperative model for electrical utilities can work worldwide, really. We're very proud of the fact that we are a customer-owned utility. We know that you're very lucky to, you know, it's not everywhere in the world where you have, you know, regular electrical service. And I think to be able to be a part of something bigger, we're kind of expanding that to places that don't have the same benefits that we do. It's just a really cool thing. And like I said, we're very proud of those two guys down there working hard on our path.
Ryan Hall, again from Guatemala, talk about how they're cooperating. I mean, you've got 14 workers there and a leader from many different co-ops across the state of Montana, but they seem to be clicking pretty good already.
Yeah, things are going really great. Sorry, one of the linemen overheard me and brought this over. So we about 2.5 miles from top to bottom in distance, but it gained an elevation of 1,800 feet on this line. So he's showing me we're about 2,400 feet in the air, and we started at 712. So we've got about 1,800 feet that we went up over 25 poles. It's a pretty steep climb. But these guys are working great. That's a good example. He heard me on the radio, came right over and helped me out. That's what we've been doing all week, is when someone needs something, they've been jumping in. You don't see crews divided. I don't think Tyler and Delaney have been on the same crew all this week because they get to work together at home. So everyone's intermingling, trying to work with other folks, learning new techniques. And then something very different than Bolivia, we have local linemen who are jumping in and helping us. And we show them how we do something, and they show us how they do something. It's been an amazing partnership and great support from the local utility here, local co-op actually here, and it's been wonderful. So to see everyone come together, that's why we're at 65% done in the morning of day six.
And so hopefully there'll be a little bit of time to dodge scorpions later on in the day, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen some of those, and we'll be doing more posts later. I try to do critter posts, and we've seen spiders that are fairly big, and we've seen a rattlesnake that went across the road the other day right in front of the pickup I was in. Seen several iguanas. We saw one bearded dragon on its hind legs running across the road. And then the one night we're standing there, there's three or four scorpions that came out. So the jungle is definitely here. You have to be aware of it. There's a tree here that has thorns that if you get stuck with that, you can get a pretty high-grade fever. We've nicknamed it the fever weed, and we've stayed away from those so far. But it is a jungle up here, and there are lots of things you got to watch out for.
Yeah, that's it's so different. And thank you for sharing that with us back here. What are the Guatemalan people like?
You can find a friendlier bunch if you wanted to. The local workers always want to help. If you pick something up, like yesterday we were pulling a wire, and I picked up part of the wire, and four guys were there just quicker than you would ever think.
Yeah.
And then everyone we've talked to, I've done several interviews this morning for the video that will come out at the end, and they're so grateful and so thankful. I spoke to the principal of the school, and she had all the kids clap for the linemen and thank all of them, and they're so excited. And I spoke to an 82-year-old woman who's lived here more than 50 years who thought she'd never see electricity. She said she prayed to God for electricity, and God sent us. So it's very humbling to hear things like that, and it's just amazing. And all these linemen have been wonderful with the locals and really taken time to talk to them and learn their culture. We have three translators with us, and it's just been a remarkable experience, and the people couldn't be more accommodating and thankful.
Ryan, and thank you for sharing that. I'm going to let you go. I'll get some final words from Ron and Gary and Mark on the other side of the break there. You got a few more days there, I know. We're following it on Facebook. And when you come back, want to have some of those folks on the air and to really tell the story, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll wrap up next week, and when we get back, we'll get some linemen on with you. I'd love for them to share their perspective, and thanks for making time.
Yeah, no, thank you, Ryan. It's good, and thank you guys for doing this. We'll take a break and come on back and talk about how this affects all the co-ops across the state of Montana. Gary Weens, executive director, is alongside Mark Lambrecht, also government relations with MECA, and Ron Catlett, too, with Flathead Electric. My thanks to Ryan Hall. We'll take a short break and come on back from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. All right, just a few more minutes here. And again, tomorrow it's a Capitol recap, the More Power Hour with the GOP leadership. Gary Weens with us, Mark Lambrecht, and also Ron Catlett, who's with Flathead Electric Cooperative. Gary, I'm going to have you. We got maybe less than 2 minutes here, about 90 seconds. Talk about, and we just heard from Ryan Hall, who was in Guatemala with 14 of the linemen all across the state of Montana from various places. A really great project going on there. Talk about why you guys are doing it, Gary, and what it means to spread that cooperative model across the planet.
Yeah, well, on this wildfire liability legislation, you know, I think a question that your listeners might have in their minds, well, why should the electric co-ops and other electric utilities, why do they need to get these, why should they have these protections from automatically being held liable? And so the fact is, we're unique. Well, how are we unique? Well, we have, as electric utilities, we have an obligation to serve. We can't, as someone said during the hearing, one of our proponents said, you know, when there's a fire risk, we can't just take the day off. We have to continue to deliver electricity, and that's something that we take very seriously. That's why we're undertaking all these different actions that we've talked about. And, it's just that is why we have to have some kind of liability protection. Like Mark talked about, we still can be found negligent, but we are unique. We have that obligation to serve.
I appreciate that. And I know that stretches into a lot of areas because the linemen in their communities are also board members and school board members, and they help out at local organizations. And that obligation to serve is felt for membership-wide. So my thanks to Ron, Gary, and Mark. You guys, thank you very much. We'll see you down the road.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.